This is the Oanda Podcast.
You're listening to the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, where we preview and review all the big business and market stories with Oanda senior market analysts from around the world. And today it is Jeff Halley in Singapore. Good morning from the United Kingdom, Jeff.
Good afternoon from Singapore.
So let's start with the markets where you are. What's been happening at the beginning of this week?
Well, the markets here have been what I would describe as Alibaba-ished. So Alibaba got given a $2.8 billion US dollar fine by the Chinese authorities for antitrust behavior over the weekend. That has led Asian stocks lower today. Perversely, though, Alibaba stock has rallied 8% because that fine wasn't as bad as markets had thought it could be. But certainly that continues this theme of the Chinese authorities clamping down on big tech and their monopolist behaviours. And that's pushed China markets lower for sure. And that's flowed through into other markets around Asia. In fact, I think only South Korea, it's up 0.1%, and that's the only one in the green. Markets in Australia have also suffered because the government announced pretty much that they were throwing their vaccination program in the rubbish bin because of the AstraZeneca issues, and that has seen markets there fade. And generally, there's rising COVID-19 issues across quite a lot of Asia, including South Korea, Thailand, India, obviously, but Indian stocks in particular look set for a gruesome open this afternoon. So we are in a combination of big tech clampdowns, US bonds rising slightly on Friday, and of course this COVID-19, which I suspect has been quiet for a while, but never really went away.
Massive contrast from where you are with where I am today, because it's a significant day for England. All non-essential retail is set to reopen, along with hair, nail salons, outdoor bars, that's the important bit, Jeff, and restaurants. We're starting to get back to normal, and people have been waiting for this day for a very long time. It's been something like 4 months. That's a third of a year since I walked into a normal, non-essential retail. We've got this incredible vaccination program. Yes, there are problems with AstraZeneca over here, and now they're suggesting that younger people shouldn't take it and there should be a different vaccination. But the contrast with where you are is quite stark.
Yeah, very much so. And look, even in the United States, yesterday they had over 45,000 new cases. So it really is a game of haves and have nots. Those countries such as Australia and New Zealand, Singapore, that have worked on an exclusion principle of getting rid of it within the country but closing the borders, seem to be doing very well. Britain has had very much a vaccine premium built into UK assets and into the currency recently. But, you know, we're seeing India is in terrible trouble at the moment, and they've stopped AstraZeneca and Remdesivir. Have I pronounced that correct? They've stopped it.
Remdesivir, funnily enough, is the drug that I was given when I was in hospital.
Well, they've stopped exports of it, so they're banning exports of that as well. And India counts because it's the largest vaccine producer in the world. Was before COVID-19, still is, so it matters.
They're making AstraZeneca there, aren't they?
Yes, indeed. And basically, because of these delays, countries such as Indonesia, but also Australia today, has also announced it's basically throwing its vaccination timetable in the rubbish bin because they can't get the vaccines. They can't get them from Europe. They can't get them from India. That is a pattern that we are going to see around the rest of the world in the coming months, I believe, or in the coming weeks, I should say. And that may mollify some of these global recovery hopes. Some countries, there's going to be some clear winners out of this, the UK and the United States, for example, but there's going to be potentially a lot of losers. Sadly, a lot of those will be in developing markets.
Indeed. And anyone out there from the UK and the USA who's smug should think again, because, you know, if the rest of the world or big parts of the rest of the world are experiencing major problems, that affects everyone.
Yes, I think the big impact will be is that the hope was rising that international borders would reopen to some degree with vaccine passports, etc. I think those hopes are perhaps a little bit overdone. They'll be challenging. And so, you know, there's only so much of a return to normal life we can do before you know, we hit that wall of people not being able to travel internationally, and not just for holidays, etc., which is important, but also for commerce and business as well. So, you know, there have to be some, I suspect in the next couple of weeks, we're going to see those assessments become a lot clearer.
Can I quickly go back to the Alibaba story, Jeff? I mean, you talked about the share price not actually suffering quite as much as many may have believed. The fine, $2.8 billion fine, amounts to about 4% of the company's 2019 domestic revenue. So it's not as high an amount as many thought. But I suppose the markets are worried about this being an example to others and a kind of contagion.
Yes, correct. And actually, the Chinese authorities in the past have fined companies up to 10% of their retail sales or of their sales, their annual sales, as fines. So the fear was amongst analysts that Alibaba could get fined, you know, perhaps two or three times as much as what they did, and hence its share prices rallied. But that doesn't mean that this clampdown on big tech and China, data privacy, anti-monopolistic behaviour has gone away. And in fact, the fact that they have moved to this fine stage with Alibaba means that they may be turning their attention to other companies. Tencent's been in the firing line lately as well. And I believe that is very much weighing on markets. And we can see the CSI 300, which is much more tech heavy than the Shanghai Composite, was down over 1.5% at one stage. Yeah, it's still around that level. So, you know, we've seen the Hang Seng, where a lot of these tech giants are listed. That was also down 1.5%. It's recovered slightly as well. But that contagion has basically flowed over into the rest of Asia. We can also see US stock futures have also moved lower after US yields rose late on Friday. And there's some reasonable risk around US yields this week, I think, as well, with US CPI due to be released.
You mentioned the week ahead. What, apart from that, stands out for you? What should we look out for?
Definitely US CPI and the danger, of course, after the PPI numbers came out much higher than expected late last week, the danger is that that is going to exceed expectations as well, well above 1.5%. And in that case, we may see US bonds yields move higher again. That will probably have an immediate effect on equity markets globally negatively, and see the US dollar rally again and gold fall. That everything seems to be quite tied in on a correlation basis to the US 10 years at the moment. So we also have a 3-year and a 10-year and a 30-year US Treasury auction. And they'll be very closely watched as well, because if the bid to cover ratio for those is weak, then what I described just a little bit before may actually gather some momentum. China also has a very busy week with data, most particularly on Friday, where we see China's GDP and industrial output and retail sales. So it's a heavy-duty trifecta of data there. Markets will be looking for very good numbers from that. And I guess the risk there is that data disappoints, and that increases the malaise in Asian stock markets, which actually all through last week, we were much more cautious than the exuberance that we'd seen over in Wall Street.
Jeff, great to speak to you again this morning, and have a very good week.
Thanks very much, and have a wonderful week ahead.
This is the Oanda Podcast.